Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last... It's quite amazing how independent media can make claims well-researched and backed with supporting evidence about the true action and intentions of the U.S. government and still be called a conspiracy theorist or fake news. And in today's hyper-controlled news environment, even censored and certainly suppressed as much as possible. And then when it suits them, years later, the mainstream media can release essentially the same news, watered down and conveniently devoid of the really damning info, and it's no longer fake news, or even shocking. And it's taken in stride by the U.S. empire apologists, to use their manipulative term against them, and contorted into some type of justifiable act. Well, of course they had to invade Iraq after 9/11, even though it had nothing to do with it. Well, of course they had to lie about WMDs. Well, of course they had to invade Afghanistan and increase opium production by 90%. Well, of course they had to work with those moderate rebels in Syria who carried out some of the worst atrocities of the war under the support of a U.S. flag. Well, of course they had to bomb Syria protecting ISIS, even though they claimed to be fighting ISIS. Because... fill in the blank with the requisite humanitarian crusade, or typically vague spreading democracy, or rescuing an oppressed people, even though none of that has come to pass at all. Well, today, yet again, we have the same type of revelation coming from Associated Press, of all places. And it will no doubt either be utterly ignored or bent into some justifiable act, even though it wildly contradicts everything they've claimed thus far during the genocide being carried out in Yemen. So the first story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, entitled, U.S. Coalition Cooperates with Al-Qaeda in Yemen, Associated Press Confirms. Now, really, this shouldn't be very shocking to most of us. As I made clear in that opening there, this is something that we have been talking about for a very, very long time. Not even to mention that the actual ties to being created by the United States or funded by the United States in the past, this concept is not that shocking. But now the Associated Press is coming out with this for some reason. As always, we shouldn't take anything at face value, be it from independent media or the mainstream media, in particular the mainstream media, Associated Press being a major part of that. Nonetheless, they're coming out with this for a reason, so I find it very interesting. But regardless of their claims, we know this to be the case. And I find it explicitly interesting in regard to Yemen, as we're currently talking about Saudi Arabia in depth yesterday's show and before that, and Yemen in depth about what's really going on there. And the entire premise around Yemen has been to fight Al-Qaeda, to fight those extremists back. And then, of course, well, while we're here, we're going to take out Iran because that's the real point. Don't tell anyone. Very interesting. So a new Associated Press report confirms what was long ago detailed by a number of independent investigative journalists. The U.S. coalition in Yemen is actually cooperating with Al-Qaeda terrorists in the campaign to dislodge Shia Houthi militants. The AP report begins dramatically, quote, again and again over the past 2 years, a military coalition led by Saudi Arabia and backed by the United States has claimed it won decisive victories that drove Al-Qaeda militants from their strongholds across Yemen and shattered their ability to attack the West. Here's what the victors did not disclose. Many of their conquests came without firing a shot. That's because the coalition cut secret deals with Al-Qaeda fighters, paying some to leave key cities and towns and letting others retreat with weapons, equipment, and wads of looted cash. An investigation by the Associated Press has found. Hundreds more were actually recruited to join the coalition itself. So at the end of the day, well, there's much more information. You could read the Associated Press article for yourself. That even in and of itself shows you clearly that at least connected through Saudi Arabia, the U.S. is directly supporting Al-Qaeda, which contradicts everything they've said this far. Now, contrary to the usual response of U.S. officials to such allegations, you know, we didn't know, hiding behind a system of plausible deniability, officials involved have now admitted to the AP that coalition allies knowingly allowed Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, known as the AQAP, to survive and flourish. Similar to the U.S. role in Syria, American officials are now apparently quite comfortable admitting that they're willing to utilize designated terrorist groups, ultimately as a weapon against specifically pro-Iran interests. Now let that sink in for a moment. this kind of shift, even though they say the exact opposite, and even to some degree will probably still assert the opposite in some kind of a White House press briefing, but have made very clear that they are openly willing to work with certain terrorist groups. And as they become more and more obviously extremist, they shift and fluctuate their name to hide it from the average American, but they're willing to support terrorist groups as it serves their interests in regard to specifically pro-Iran or anti-pro-Iran interests. Going all the way back through the Obama and Bush administrations, the Pentagon and White House have claimed that its ongoing war on terror operations in Yemen were solely to destroy the terrorist groups that we're talking about here. This despite a mountain of evidence to suggest that they quite literally created these guys to begin with, but that's another conversation altogether, which we've gotten into in the past. As the author writes in this article, quote, Its double game has clearly consisted in creating a smokescreen of anti-terror propaganda for public consumption to justify the over decade-long U.S. presence in the Arabian Peninsula, while secretly allowing the AQ and Saudi and UAE partners to do Washington's dirty work. That sounds very similar to things we've been saying for years. Things that Mint Press News have been saying for years. Things that Eva Bartlett and Vanessa Bealey have been saying for years. But now it's coming out of Associated Press, so now it's real. I find this incredibly interesting to see how this plays out. And again, even now, it's going to be kind of folded into some kind of justifiable act due to the fact that the U.S. is the good guy, because we're fighting the bad guys. That's just how it always works. The AP report breaks down the reality of the U.S. role in Yemen as follows. Quote, in one conflict, the U.S. is working with its Arab allies, particularly the United Arab Emirates, while the aim of eliminating the branch of extremists known as Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, or AQAP. But the larger mission is to win the civil war against the Houthis, Iranian-backed Shiite rebels. And in that fight, Al-Qaeda militants are effectively on the same side as the Saudi-led coalition, and by extension, the United States. That's a pretty big thing to say coming from the Associated Press. I mean, clearly, I'm sure they already have things in works to make sure that this makes sense to the average American, but that's a big statement to make there. By extension, the United States. Counter-terror specialist and Middle East analyst Michael Horton points out further, quote, elements of the U.S. military are clearly aware that much of what the U.S. is doing in Yemen is aiding the AQAP, the extremist groups, and there is much angst about that, which is why we see people coming back from these wars completely just jaded about what's really going on. And you'd be surprised how many veterans actually speak out about this stuff, but then are stifled by the very government that they thought they were fighting for, because they realize they're fighting for the wrong side. And this is exactly what he's saying here. There's a lot of angst about realizing what's really going on over there. Horton is quoted by the AP as bluntly stating current U.S. policy, quote, however, supporting the UAE and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia against what the U.S. views as Iranian expansionism takes priority over battling the AQAP, the very reason they're supposed to be there, and even stabilizing Yemen, adding that the idea that the coalition fights AQAP, quote, is a farce. Very interesting. Now, I truly think that this is something that needs to resonate with us, as we need to realize that this has been going on for a very long time. And that we've been talking about this for a very long time. As this tweet says, the only surprising thing about this report is that people find it surprising. And I completely agree with that. But the real point, though, is that we have to spread this information to those that are not aware of it. Because sadly enough, people still take what the mainstream media reports as being more tangible and more legitimate than just about anything else, regardless of the facts. Something coming from the AP doesn't even need supporting source material. It just has, you know, they think it's real because it comes from mainstream media. So I think this is a good thing to spread around, but we should be very cautious about their objective in releasing this information. But it's interesting to see that this is exactly what we've been saying for a very long time. The U.S. is working with the very extremists they pretend to be fighting, as we all know, as in Syria, as in Afghanistan, as in Iraq, exactly what we've been saying for a very long time, to progress its geopolitical goals, and not at all to protect the people of Yemen. That has to be pretty clear by now. Going to the next article coming from the antimedia.com and something kind of a follow-up story that we've recently talked about coming from yesterday's show. This is entitled, Twitter account linked to Saudi government appears to threaten Canada with 9/11 style attack. Now, right off the bat, I'll tell you that I don't actually think that's what this is. I have my own opinions about this, but as always, come to your own conclusions about this. But this story is a kind of a follow-up to what we were talking about yesterday, about the Badawi family and the peaceful activists in Saudi Arabia who were arrested and imprisoned for simply being peaceful activists, and one of them being a Canadian citizen. So Canada spoke out and saying, this is not right. This is a human rights violation, and you guys need to account for that and need to let him go. And they flip out and respond by saying, how dare you even release a statement trying to challenge Saudi sovereignty, which I pointed out how ridiculous that was in yesterday's show. But this is kind of a follow-up. So they sent this tweet to them with a graphic in it. Basically, a lot of people took it as a threat in the way of a 9/11 style attack. Now, as the author notes, the government's dramatic reaction to Canada's call to free peaceful activists escalated Monday when Infographic KSA, which is the name of the group, described as a pro-government youth organization, tweeted an image of a plane heading towards the Toronto skyline, accompanied by a quote, cautioning against interfering in the country's domestic affairs. Now, here's the tweet for you, or the graphic for you to take a look at. It says, sticking one's nose where it doesn't belong, as the Arabian saying goes. He who interferes with what doesn't concern him finds what doesn't please him. Very clearly with a Canadian plane flying at the Canadian coastline, or the, you know, the background of Canada. And so you could very clearly see why people took this that way. And maybe this was what they meant. I just find it to be a little ridiculous that this would be that on the nose. I truly think that this was either maybe the group, the infographic group who released this, they claim not to be government related, even though even the Washington Post has said they're basically government related. Maybe they thought that and thought it would be funny, but I truly don't think that the government of Saudi Arabia was this stupid enough to release this, because clearly they immediately followed up by deleting the tweet and reposting it without the plane in the picture. They claim that the plane was meant to represent the returning ambassador from Saudi Arabia. As we spoke about yesterday, they made the Canadian ambassador go home and they took back their ambassador. So this is kind of what they meant. I don't know. Come to your own conclusions about what they ultimately might have thought there or meant by this tweet. But I found it interesting nonetheless and wanted to bring it to your attention for you to come to your own conclusions. The Saudi Ministry of Media has now shut down the Twitter account in general, noting it was conducting an investigation. The tweet was particularly in poor taste, considering the majority of 9/11 hijackers were Saudi Arabian citizens. And there's significant evidence that members of the Saudi government were involved in the 2001 attack to some degree. Now, I know there's a lot of varying perceptions about what actually happened to 9/11. I have my own opinions that go all over the map as well. But there is some significant evidence to suggest that Saudi government was involved to some degree, even if that was to pretend to be part of it, or however you want to look at it. Ultimately, regardless, it was in pretty poor taste to let this go out for that very reason. It's also well documented that the Saudi kingdom has funded the spread of Wahhabism, a radical faction of Islam, and provided support to the Islamic State. Of course, the very group that the United States seems to be all gung-ho about annihilating from the world, as they directly support Saudi Arabia in providing support for the Islamic State. This ridiculous circle of contradiction that nobody seems to be able to put their finger on unless they're outside the two-party paradigm, I guess. As the article finishes, the country's harsh reaction to calls to respect human rights and peaceful protesters hardly helps its reputation. But that seems to matter little, as the United States and President Trump refuse to break ties with the country, instead selling them weapons of war that are continuously used to kill civilians in Yemen. Though the government has recently been praised for attempting to make reforms, its ongoing behavior suggests fundamentally little has actually changed. Again, something we've been saying from the very beginning of all this, a massive propaganda campaign. As many very clearly and rightly say that Saudi Arabia is essentially like the attack dog of Israel and the United States and what they're trying to accomplish around the world, using these extremists to destabilize countries they want to then go and overthrow. Which is a very simplified version of what's really going on, but kind of cuts to the quick of it, and you can see this happening. But this infographic is something I found interesting. I figured I would share. You come to your own conclusions about whether they were actually threatening a 9/11 attack. I just don't think they're that stupid. I don't think they're that smart either, but I think it was a mistake. But clearly it just kind of goes to the larger concept here that Saudi Arabia is a monarchy, a very authoritarian the antithesis of a democracy, literally supported by a country pretending to support only democracy around the world. It's pretty ridiculous. And I think that has to do with everything we talk about here in regard to U.S. foreign policy. Moving on to the next story, coming from antiwar.com, entitled, European Union Vows to block U.S. sanctions on Iran. Very important development here. Again, something we recently touched on yesterday as the new sanctions were just passed, or rather reimposed yesterday. But this is, again, a very important development to see how the rest of the world is responding. Despite how Western propaganda makes this seem, it's very clear that the vast majority of the rest of the world is not on board with what's happening here, as the European Union vows to block U.S. sanctions on Iran. So as we noted yesterday, top European Union officials have said they deeply regret President Donald Trump's move Monday to start reimposing nuclear sanctions on Iran. The officials also now have promised to block the U.S. sanctions and preserve the deal. The joint statement offered by the various top-ranking foreign policy officials in the EU, the foreign ministers of the three P5 plus one parties, which is the nuclear deal, and the EU chief, Federica Mogherini, I believe is how you pronounce her name, says they will maintain effective financial channels for Iran and ensure that they can keep exporting oil and gas, which is a huge, huge stance against what the United States is trying to accomplish. Literally saying, we will do everything we can to ensure that you can continue to do what they don't want you to do. Pretty much how it breaks down. That's a big development in the geopolitical scene here today, as the United States is taking some pretty drastic and aggressive stances against anyone that tries to do exactly that. The statement further said that the preservation of a nuclear deal is both about respecting international agreement and as a matter of international security. The U.S. is threatening severe consequences for those who don't abide by their sanctions. The EU is clearly not alone in this, and there is no sign any of the remaining P5 plus one deal signatories are going along with U.S. demands, as China has already ruled out halting oil buys. The U.S. ability to force big powers to go along with its unilateral sanctions is very much being tested today. And again, this is a huge development in regard to how the rest of the world is responding to the waning geopolitical power of the United States. And you could say that may be part of the plan. It depends on how you see all this. But clearly, the European Union being a massive force here is literally standing directly against what the U.S. is trying to accomplish. And I would say on the right side of it, honestly. But again, that's for you to decide. Moving on to the next story, completely related, coming from ZeroHedge.com, entitled, Trump blasts, quote, anyone trading with Iran will not be trading with the U.S. And clearly, immediately, you can say, okay, well, based on what we're seeing around the world, that seems to, as opposed to being what Trump wants it to mean, is the U.S. backing itself into a corner and isolating itself, as everyone is openly saying they're not going to. Who knows how it's really going to develop? But this is very interesting that Trump is continuing to double down on this plan, even though it seems like no one's going along. And we have to recognize that this will most likely hurt Americans more than anybody else. Again, that's my opinion. We have to wait and see how it pans out. But this is interesting. So Trump tweeted out, quote, the Iran sanctions have officially been cast. These are the most biting sanctions ever imposed. He always seems to, this is the biggest, most powerful. It's always something like that. And it continues, and in November, they ratchet up to yet another level. In a warning to China, India, Russia, Turkey, and many other nations, which have said they will defy Trump sanctions, Turkey being a NATO ally, which is interesting, and continue to import Iran oil, Trump warned that, quote, anyone doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the United States. Then, pulling a page out of the John Lennon album, Trump explained, I am asking for world peace, nothing less. Just always with the ridiculous hyperbole. Like, clearly world peace is not what you're asking for, as you're threatening acts of war against the rest of the world. It's just literally the exact opposite of what he's doing. Sanctions are an act of war, and they lead to hot war more often than not. So the reality here is that saying he's asking for world peace is pretty ridiculous. But that's what the people will latch on to and say, he's just trying to cause, you know, peace by force, which is a kind of stupid concept when you really realize what it means and probably what it leads to and what has led to in the past. Trump has said he is open to talks with no preconditions in the past, recent past. But then yet Pompeo came right out and said the exact opposite. As again, showing us how kind of interesting it is, this back and forth where Trump will say one thing and his administration will come out and say, no, that's not what he meant. Or no, this is what we're doing. Kind of begging the question yet again, who's really kind of deciding what their policy is. But then as Trump has come out again, even today, and kind of putting that out again, this idea of no preconditions, even though Pompeo literally said the exact opposite. Now, Iran's President Rouhani said Iran is open to negotiations if the U.S. is sincere, but added that such talks would be meaningless while his nation is being hit with sanctions, which I completely agree with. And it's this idea of no preconditions is pretty ridiculous when you realize what's really going on back and forth here. Now, he went on to say, quote, negotiations at the same time as sanctions. What meaning does that have? Rouhani said. It means someone is facing a person who's a rival, an enemy. If they have a knife and they stick it in the knife in the arm and then say, let's negotiate and let's talk. The response to this is, first of all, they have to take the knife out and put the knife back in their pocket. Incredibly lucid, and he makes perfect sense here. But it's the same concept we saw with North Korea, this pretending to want to have a debate while strong-arming them, saying we're going to attack you until you decide to agree to what we want, ultimately, under this guise of wanting to have a real discussion. It's pretty clear what's happening. Now, the sanctions are indeed having the desired effect, as we can see, as Iran's currency is currently falling quite a lot. But as we've pointed out in the past, is mostly hurting the civilian population, which yet again contradicts the entire narrative of why the U.S. is trying to do this, to rescue the oppressed Iranian people, as they do the very thing that hurts the oppressed Iranian people. Again, just direct contradictions right there in front of you. Now, that will come as good news to Trump, ultimately, this idea of their currency falling. That's clearly what they're trying to accomplish. And he has stated the goal is to get the Iranian regime to stop meddling in countries from Syria to Yemen, halt its ballistic missile program, and commit to stricter limits on its nuclear program. But the real intention, of course, is the overthrow of the government. But that statement in general is patently false when you realize to talk about this Iranian regime meddling in other countries, Syria, Yemen, they're asked to be in Syria and Yemen by the governments of Syria and Yemen. The people who are meddling in other countries are the U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia, and all of those along with what they're trying to do. It's all facts. This is not partisan discussion. These are facts. They're there illegally. Iran is there by the request of the government. They're not meddling in other countries. This is blatant propaganda. Halting its ballistic missile program. Well, if you wanted that, maybe you should have left in place the nuclear deal, which did exactly that. Yeah, well, I guess not necessarily the ballistic missile program, but it's a back and forth manipulation of what's really going on. That's clearly what it's relating to, as if they were breaking this deal when they never were to begin with, and to commit stricter limits on the nuclear program, which it's everyone else is in agreement that that's exactly what the deal was actually doing. Except the United States, and clearly by manipulation of people like Bolton and Netanyahu, who openly said he manipulated Trump into thinking that was what was going on. All right there in front of you guys if you want to look at it. I know most of you in the chat are well aware of that. Moving on to the next story coming from Zero Hedge as well. And this is a story that I have just continued. I don't even think this is the most important news to talk about today, but it's become kind of a recurring thing on this show to point out, just as I called it, just as we've expected, that yet again, Wells Fargo apologizes after accidentally foreclosing hundreds of homes. As they say, how low can Far go? This is absolutely crazy. How is this company still in existence? How is Wells Fargo still a company that people use and bank with? It just baffles me. And at the point coming down from this, actually, the way that this article starts, I found very interesting. It begins saying, 6 months after the Fed slammed Wells Fargo with unprecedented sanctions, no more total asset growth until it cleans up his act, because of a pattern of consumer abuses and other lapses, that list grew over the weekend when the firm said it may have improperly foreclosed on 400 homes. I was actually unaware that the Fed had slammed Wells Fargo with sanctions, clearly because I didn't see it covered anywhere. I'm not like aggressively following the Wells Fargo story besides just seeing what news pops up. But that's interesting because I would have said, yes, that's a good move. But whether it was really going to accomplish anything is again the question, because it is not legal action. These people are stealing, robbing innocent people of their money. That's a crime. By giving them sanctions and affecting their business is a good step, but it's just like the $2 billion, $1 billion fines. It doesn't really do much to them. I mean, yes, this is, as it says, capping their total asset growth, which is probably really bad for the people trying to squeeze more money out of their abused patrons as they continue to rob them blind through many different, the 11th Wells Fargo scandal? But again, it's not legal action. Just to show you the difference between the average person and those in these elite corporate circles. Interesting. Wells Fargo says a company mistake contributed to hundreds of foreclosures, hundreds, because it miscalculated customers' eligibility for mortgage modifications. The bank said in a filing Friday, the error caused about 625 customers to be denied or not offered loan modifications they otherwise qualified for, and foreclosures were completed in about 400 of the cases. Now, the 400 cases, this is 400 people that their homes were foreclosed on because of a Wells Fargo mistake. I highly doubt it was for a mistake, but that's for you to come to your own conclusions on. Based on their track record, it's probably just another way to squeeze out people they didn't think would be able to fight back, which is their MO. The company accrued $8 million in the second quarter to mediate customers that may have been affected, is what they're claiming, by an automated miscalculation of attorney's fees between April 13, 2010 and October 20, 2015, and it may put out more in the future, as they claim. I probably doubt it. It says, to the extent issues are identified, we will continue to assess any customer harm and provide remediation as appropriate. It's a very hollow thing to say in the face of so many ridiculous, you know, just crimes. I mean, they are crimes. There's no other word for it. Cohen and Company analyst Jarrett Spiberg wrote Monday in a note that, quote, Wells Fargo is now making it easy for the Federal Reserve to lift the asset growth cap, adding that we don't know how the Federal Reserve could lift the cap this year, and lifting it next year could become a problem if the Democrats retake the House in November as we expect. Just a ridiculous show of nonsense. Talking about capping their federal, you know, their lift the cap on their, it's absurd to see that these are people that are making conscious choices every day to manipulate the very people that they're supposed to be protecting their money for and stealing from them, using them, repossessing their cars, foreclosing on their homes, creating false accounts for them, creating false insurance accounts for them, stealing money from them, and nothing. They walk away scot-free. They're chucking it up in their back room right now. Huh, another fine. Big deal. Let's just create another scam to be able to make more money to make up for that. I doubt this will be the last scam we see. Again, probably not breaking news for the day, but it does give you a highlight into what's really going on in the larger scheme of how this country operates. These people should be in jail, and that company should not be in existence today. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from the freethoughtproject.com, and it's one that I found especially frustrating in regard to a story we've covered that this site in a large way was created upon, and that's cannabis, entitled Dangerous Precedent, Wholesaler Charged with Trafficking Marijuana for THC-Free CBD Gummies. Now, again, this is something that people, you're like, are probably thinking, wait, this is still happening? Really? After all that's going on with cannabis in this country, this is still happening? Indeed, it still is happening. And it should frustrate you all to realize that the vast, vast majority, more than just about any other topic in this country today, people are in agreement that this should no longer be happening. And guess what? The federal government doesn't care. They're doing it anyway. I don't know how much more you need to see to realize that we're not in any kind of a democratic society, any kind. Whatever you may think this country is founded on or whatever they claim it is today, we're definitely not that. So last year, the DEA issued a statement to clarify its stance on the legality of CBD, which we covered back when that happened, saying that the stance has always been illegal. Many people probably still don't even realize that. CBD, which is non-psychoactive, at least specifically CBD. And they made a point to say it's still illegal. That's as ridiculous as saying hemp is still illegal, even though to them it is in a large way. That hemp, again, non-psychoactive. Is it something that the country used to force farmers to grow so they could use it for rope and sails? But then they just decided it was illegal because it threatened a lot of other industries. Corporatism, that's what it's all about. Now, these laws have been rarely and selectively enforced in the last so many years, but people out there are still getting locked up for the possession of just CBD. One such case happened late last month on July 30th when detectives intercepted packages, multiple packages, of CBD gummies, gummy bears, or whatever, gummy, whatever, but little gummies that were being shipped to a man who works as a wholesaler for cigarettes and other items that are often sold at gas stations. According to the News Observer, one of the packages were opened at a UPS terminal in Raleigh, North Carolina, and police were called to investigate. The article makes a good point to call out this see something, say something culture, which is a huge part of the problem. As always, I recommend you read these articles in full for yourself, coming to your own conclusions. But that is an important part that they note on in the article, that this idea that we need to tell everybody about something, a nonviolent crime that hurts no one, That's not even a crime. This is CBD, as opposed to certain states' rights say it's allowed. And the federal government, which is unconstitutional, comes over the top and says, no, we think it's illegal. So ultimately, being a crime is even debatable. But the see something, say something culture is a huge problem in all of this. The packages reportedly contained over 200 pounds of just CBD gummies, all of which the wholesaler believed to be legal, and rightly so. But the man was arrested and charged with trafficking marijuana, despite the fact that there was no THC in the items that were shipped to them. Trafficking marijuana. First of all, it's, I think today a six-year-old could recognize that CBD is not marijuana. Even saying THC is not marijuana is a true statement. There's chemicals, there's concepts there versus marijuana, which is a plant. So they're aware of this. The idea is that they umbrella all of this stuff under the law for marijuana, and now they can rob this guy blind, possess his shop, take all of his belongings, and put him in jail. And guess what? They'll go buy a new coffee pot or a new coffee machine for the police station, which we have on record that very thing happening. So taking money from people through civil asset forfeiture, which is unconstitutional in its own right, because they possess marijuana, in this case, not even actually marijuana, and use that money for their own whatever purposes. Completely unregulated. It's horrendous. And this man will likely spend the rest of his life in jail for trafficking marijuana. That's my guess. I mean, I haven't seen the development yet or how long he's going to spend in jail, but I'll guarantee you it's going to be sometime in jail. In contrast to what we just talked about the pedophile who raped a child and was a cop who got no time in jail. So let's see how this plays out. Again, highlighting the most absurd contradiction in our justice system today. Protecting elitists while charging people that they can take advantage of. Just like Wells Fargo. That's the society we live in today. It's truly a sad time when even those being oppressed are so indoctrinated with the false virtue of their oppressors that they're willing to fight in the streets about how gentle the boot is that's being pressed against their neck. It can indeed be intensely depressing to see so many fighting against you, and I get that, as you literally fight for their freedom in the face of rising tyranny. But all this just shows us how afraid the oligarchy truly is of the potential for rising awareness in regard to the true nature of the current U.S. direction. That's precisely why channels are being deleted, even those who are a part of the deception. These false alt-media groups are a tool to be used against us, and they're now being used to kick off the beginning of the true effort, to create the justification for the right to completely control what is allowed to be discussed online, to utterly control the narrative. Just as Caitlin Johnstone always says, those who control the narrative control the world. That's never been more correct than today. So there has never been a more important time to push harder, to fight against the seemingly insurmountable force, to stand on your soapbox, in the street if you must, and call for an all-out revolt. And no, I do not mean by means of violence, but a revolt nonetheless. The time is here. For all you watching, it's your choice whether you want to be on the right side of history, because simply being a part of this society today and not taking a stand, sadly, you're already on the wrong side of history. And I do not mean as Americans. I mean because of the select few who have surreptitiously pushed us there under the guise of America. And it's time for us to take it back. So thank you for tuning in today. For those of you who want to continue watching, I'm going to be doing a longer research and review stream in a few minutes following this. I appreciate you all tuning in. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or WKUP.live and any of the independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.